Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson is a multifaceted guitar shop offering guitar instruction, new and used guitars and amplifiers, and all accessories. We offer guitar repair of the highest quality. Instead of experiencing the total hassle of a big box store, take the scenic drive to Fort Atkinson and experience what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic. We love guitars.
John Nichols from the Capital Times and the Nation. Brother, good afternoon.
Hey, brother, you know what I'm listening to?
My show?
Well, I mean, before.
Okay.
Tres Hombres by ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah, Bad Hombres. You know, all right. Donald Trump deserves to be criticized for a lot of things, but saying Bad Hombres is not the... That's not the
worst. What? People are criticizing him for that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're saying it's racist. Come and on. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, it may be. Yeah. Well, coming from him, you can't rule anything out.
I understand. But I
mean, you got to be honest.
Let's kind of stick to big picture with this guy. Okay?
Okay. All right. You know, did you hear about the country show this weekend?
The what?
Bad Hombres playing with the Nasty Women.
She's a nasty woman. She's a nasty woman. She's in it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So let's go to some of our favorite moments. I like this.
Let me say, number one, when I saw the final agreement for TPP, I said I was against it. It didn't meet my tests. I've had the same tests. Does it create jobs, raise incomes, and further our national security? I'm against it now. I'll be against it after the election. I'll be against it when I'm president. There's only one of us on this stage who's actually shipped jobs to Mexico, because that's Donald. He's shipped jobs to 12 countries, including Mexico. But he mentioned China. And, you know, one of the biggest problems we have with China is the illegal dumping of steel and aluminum into our markets. I have fought against that as a senator. I've stood up against it as Secretary of State. Donald has bought Chinese steel and aluminum. In fact, the Trump Hotel right here in Las Vegas was made with Chinese steel. So he goes around with crocodile tears about how terrible it is, but he has given jobs to Chinese steel workers, not American steel workers.
Mr. Trump?
That's the kind of approach that is just not going to work. We're going to pull the country together. We're going to have trade agreements that we enforce. That's why I'm going to have a trade prosecutor for the first time in history. And we're going to enforce those agreements. And we're going to look for businesses to help us by buying American products.
That kind of pushback should have been going on a very long time ago. Right?
Well, also, did you notice there that she was going to finish that statement? It's like, first off, it was, you know, Trump was trying to get in, and it didn't. And he actually stood down. And then Chris Wallace, and she just kept right on going there. That was a full message that she wanted to deliver. And do you know who she was talking to?
Ohio.
The guy who lives at 1821 Elm Street, Lorain, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That was about as targeted a message as you could do. And, frankly... Exactly. It's not only the right message. So you're going to be against it, you know, after the election, as president. You're dotting all the I's, crossing all the T's. And you're, of course, also connecting it to the reality of Donald Trump, right? And Donald Trump's a grifter. He's you know, got family money to get started, didn't pay his taxes, didn't pay his contractors, didn't always take care of his workers. He's always looking for the cut rate way to kind of keep himself rich. So, I mean, why didn't somebody look into him using Chinese steel a year ago? Because you can bet the data was there. I mean, here's my only question for you after hearing that soliloquy. A, I think it's a little late in the game, but it's at least came out. Clinton's like, all that money that Scott Walker, when he was running for president, didn't he hire an opposition researcher? Did any of those guys hire an opposition researcher? Or did they just not know enough about working class issues or working class concerns to have asked the right question?
You know, on this very issue, Ron Johnson's been running away from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, pretending that somehow he's being thoughtful by hiding on
this
issue.
It's insulting.
Yeah, it is insulting.
It's insulting.
So
no,
it is interesting. Yes, he's consulting. Okay, it is insulting and consult. He is consulting and it's insulting because he's not really consulting. I love it where he goes, I pull in people with different views, labor unions. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of any labor union being called to his office for anything, ever.
And they've all lined up confidently to endorse him.
Here's the important point. I want to steer this. He's been very reticent to talk about this, but he wasn't so reticent to talk about the TPP when he went to the Wisconsin State Journal editorial board yesterday.
Wasn't that funny? Yeah, I know. And suddenly, because he knows they're ridiculously pro-free trade, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, of course I really love these trade deals, and I think they're great, but could you not record me right now? You know, it's sort of like, that was really, they did him no favors there, I have to tell you.
They did him no favors.
But this is the other thing about, as regards, you do understand, you probably think that Ron Johnson is keeping his stance unclear on TPP, because he, you know, wants the voters to think that he's all over, you know, that he hasn't quite decided the issue, right? I got another theory for you.
Okay.
If you're trying to raise a lot of money, you keep yourself a little bit vague on that issue. Does that hurt you as a fundraising tactic?
No. They send their love. It's like sending flowers to your girlfriend after you got in a fight with her.
It's like, hey, pony up, boys. I'm not like that Rob Portman. I might still be got.
Uh-huh.
You know. Yeah. So all I would suggest to you is
you're so cynical, John.
There is nobody more cynical than Ron Johnson. You cannot beat the Ron Johnson cynicism.
All right, speaking of Donald Trump and cynicism, obviously, this is pretty funny. Yeah, there we go.
You know, WikiLeaks just actually came out. John Podesta said some horrible things about you, and boy, was he right. He said some beauties. And, you know, Bernie Sanders, he said you have bad judgment. You do. And if you think that going into Mosul, after we let the world know we're going in, and all of the people that we really wanted, the leaders, they're all gone. If you think that was good, then you do. Now, John Podesta said you have terrible instincts. Bernie Sanders said you have bad judgment. I agree with both.
Well, you should ask Bernie Sanders who he's supporting for president, and he has said, campaigned for me around the country, you are the most dangerous person to run for president in the modern history of America. I think he's right.
All the years you've been friends with Bernie, did you ever think that Bernie would be the gold standard, sort of the patron saint of our current crop of elected officials discussed in a presidential debate? Did you ever think that would happen?
Yeah, he didn't come up in a lot of previous debates. Although, you know, it's very funny. Do you know one of the funny things is Bernie Sanders came up in some of the Republican debates earlier this year, and the people that Donald Trump beat tried to make Bernie Sanders into something bad or scary. You know, they got a socialist running.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you understand now, we just had the nominee of the Republican Party of the United States and the nominee of the Democratic Party of the United States kind of arguing who was closer
to Bernie Sanders,
country's most prominent Democratic socialist.
Right. Well, of any of the presidential candidates.
I think I'll have a Bud Light.
I haven't seen whether they've rated him as far as positive versus negative recently, but can you measure what his numbers look like?
I did check it recently because I was writing something. He's the only one that, you know, who's at the level that his numbers are just fantastic right now. And I think it's because, I don't think it's because everybody agrees with everything he says, but I think people genuinely think he means it.
Isn't that, that's a remarkable notion. You know, you really can't, you really can't package that in a bottle. Here is the two kicks at the can that Chris Wallace gave Donald Trump last night.
In this topic, you have been warning at rallies recently that this election is rigged and that Hillary Clinton is in the process of trying to steal it from you. Your running mate, Governor Pence, pledged on Sunday that he and you, his words, will absolutely accept the result of this election. Today, your daughter Ivanka said the same thing. I want to ask you here on the stage tonight, do you make the same commitment that you will absolutely, sir, that you will absolutely accept the result of this election?
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time. What I've seen is so bad. First of all, the media is so dishonest and so corrupt, and the pile-on is so amazing that the New York Times actually wrote an article about it that they don't even care. It's so dishonest, and they've poisoned the minds of the voters. But unfortunately for them, I think the voters are seeing through it. I think they're going to see through it. We'll find out on November 8th, but I think they're going to see through it.
But, sir,
if you look, excuse me, Chris, if you look at your voter rolls, you will see millions of people that are registered to vote. Millions. This isn't coming from me. This is coming from Pew Report and other places. Millions of people that are registered to vote that shouldn't be registered to vote. So, let me just give you one other thing. So I talk about the corrupt media. I talk about the millions of people. I'll tell you one other thing. She shouldn't be allowed to run. She's guilty of a very, very serious crime. She should not be allowed to run. And just in that respect, I say it's rigged.
And as you know, that Wallace gave him another kick at the can. Your reaction to what he did last night?
Well, the remarkable thing was that when Wallace came back to him and gave him, you know, a chance to, you know, take a breath, think about this, and amazingly enough, there couldn't have been a question for which Trump should have been better prepared than this one, right? Than the discussion of the last
week. Well, he's been talking about it for the last 2 weeks.
Well, in fact, if you go back, you find even, you know, into the primaries he was saying things. But, you know, he should have been very prepared. The answer was bizarre, right? He didn't answer. He actually made concerns worse. Then you come back and he actually kind of mocks the whole thing,
uh-huh.
Mocks concerns. This, you know, what did you say?
Well, let's play it. Here's what he said.
There is a tradition in this country. In fact, one of the prides of this country is the peaceful transition of power, and that no matter how hard fought a campaign is, that at the end of the campaign, that the loser concedes to the winner. Not saying that you're necessarily going to be the loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner, and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
So, Joe Scarborough this morning went after people for criticizing Donald Trump on this. And one of the more remarkable things that I've heard in a very long time, he compared this to Bush v. Gore.
Well, the media got something they can absolutely freak out about and claim that he's an agent of Vladimir Putin and destroying democracy in America. And it's just another example of the media having to find a little phrase and freak out.
Joe, he's
when, as a Republican, I have listened to Democrats talk about the only two times we won the White House in like 800 years that we stole both elections. I had to sit through Fahrenheit 9-1-1 and a lady was sobbing violently behind me on the Upper West Side about the election being stolen from George Bush, and I patted her halfway through. I go, it's all right. It's all right, ma'am.
But
hold on. It's all right. It's all a lie anyway. Democrats have been whining for 16 years. They're still writing articles about how Bush stole the elections.
Your reaction to that?
Well, first off, Bush lost the election in 2000, right? I mean, he trailed by the better part of 500,000 votes. So in essentially any country in the world, except one with a, you know, convoluted electoral college set up in slavery days, Bush would not have been the president. So to be so casual about it, as Scarborough was, is just a little bit bizarre. But let me take it another step there and say that I didn't like Chris Wallace's question, right? Because he did seem to suggest that, you know, the concern is about Donald Trump declaring his acceptance of the results on election night, right? That's not what this is about. That's never been what this is about. It has always been that at the point where it is clear someone has won the election by any reasonable standard, that's when you concede. John Adams didn't concede immediately to Thomas Jefferson in the great defining election of the American experience in 1800. It was a close election. It was fought through the Electoral College and into the Congress. But when it was clear who the winner was, at a point where America did not quite know.
Well, you know, I understand your listen. I understand your points about that, and that Scarborough is sort of making this the secondary point that Trump didn't say anything that outrageous. But let's put this in the context
of
this. But let's put this in the context of what's been going on and what he's been saying for the last couple weeks, and why he thinks the election is rigged. His notion that a bunch of inner city wards are going to somehow conspire to destroy him, and the fact that Hillary Clinton wasn't charged, by the Justice Department mm-hmm. in the emails. Those are not legitimate reasons to say that an election is rigged.
That's exactly the point. That is the contrast here. No one is suggesting that Donald Trump has to concede before before the results are clearly in.
So, maybe Chris Wallace should have asked it in a more lawyerly way. But I think we all kind of get the point, don't we?
No, but because Trump gave it to him, right? Trump had the worst possible answer there. I'll keep you in suspense. But this is the critical thing, and this is the staggering cynicism of people who try to make the Bush v. Gore comparison. Nobody's saying that if it's that close, they expect Trump to fold.
What they're saying
is that before the election, when he has no idea how close it will be, in fact, when there's a pretty good suggestion that it won't be that close, before the election, he is running around saying, the only way I'm going to lose is if it's rigged.
But listen, this is what this election has. You know what's funny though? These sort of contortions that Chris Christie and Kellyanne Conway and Rudolph Giuliani and his other surrogates have gone out there and done this, not just with this issue, but with so many others. They think they're really cute and they think they're pulling a fast one on people. But you know what? I kind of think people aren't buying. I really don't think they're selling it.
Do you want to know something that's interesting about this? I wrote a book about Bush v. Gore.
Jews for Buchanan.
Indeed, I know this stuff pretty well. And I strongly support candidates who, win a close election, making sure their votes are counted, no matter whether they're liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican, whatever. It doesn't matter. But this is the thing that's so unsettling about all this. Trump, in advance of the election, and this is unprecedented, in advance of the election, appears to be setting up, and did in fact in the debate, setting up excuses that his supporters might use. Forget about him. That his supporters use to reject the result, this is an important slide, or to literally in some way interrupt or threaten the actual election process.
Here is
which is a real concern.
Here's the farcical exclamation point on all this.
I would like to promise and pledge to all of my voters and supporters, all of the people of the United States, that I will totally accept the results of this great and historic presidential election if I win.
See, he just thinks this is all a big joke, doesn't he?
That's what I'm saying. He's joking about it. And this is where the problem comes in. As I've said before, I believe Trump has a lot of sincere supporters who maybe are deeply concerned about the country and really, really have profound problems with Hillary Clinton. They you know, and his what he says during this campaign and at its close, when it's concluded, is a really big deal because this guy has said a lot of incredibly irresponsible things. I believe if he says at the close, look, I lost, that's reality, we all have to accept it. Yeah, something similar to what Al Gore did in 2000. I think his supporters will, you know, there'll be the grudges and, you know, grumbling mm-hmm. who want Texas to secede, but it will be okay. But if Trump gains this thing, you know, or plays games with this, you run the risk, not just, I'm trying to give him a benefit of the doubt, but you run the risk of taking sincere people and making them feel that their country is fundamentally imperiled. That, you know, you're at literally one of these tips.
That is absolutely true. All right, we've got to wrap it up there. John Nichols from the Capital Times, thanks for coming on.
SlysOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.